So hello everyone and welcome to the first post-summer break episode of MotoGP podcast Last on the Brakes. I did it, I went straight in, I didn't fumble, we're both feeling a little bit rusty. Welcome back everybody and welcome back to MotoGP, of course, a stunning race at Silverstone. I am Fran Wild and alongside me on your screens now is Mr. Elliot York. Welcome back Elliot, we'll do the brief pleasantries, how are you doing and who do we have on the show today?
Yeah, it's good to be back, Fran. We were speaking before, weren't we? It seems like ages since we did this, almost like it's a new season.
This feels
after
like podcast 2024.
But yeah, I'm all good, nice and refreshed after the summer break. And of course, we had a really good race at Silverstone. And looking forward to this episode because we've got a very special guest on in Cal Crutchlow, who's getting ready for his second return after returning also last year in 2021. Hi, Cal, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
All good. Looking forward to it.
Good.
Wow,
pleasure to be on.
Answer, Elliot. It's a pleasure to have you. And it will be a pleasure to have you back in the paddock, of course. That's where we've got to start. Big news, both that, of course, Dovi is going to retire from racing and not at the end of the season, as there'd been a few hints at already, but actually after Misano, and you're going to be back. How did all of this come about, I guess, is the first question. We've seen you back already a couple of times, obviously, with Franco having his surgery. But how has this one come about? When did you get the call?
A little while ago now. But yeah, I've been retired twice now. And after this, I'll be retired for a third time. So, yeah, you know, I'm actively the Monster Energy factory team test rider for Yamaha, so it fitted in well as it did last year. So I was able to be able to step in sort of as and when. Most test riders have some sort of clause in the contract, and you know, I was happy to do it last year and happy to do it this year. Last year was a little bit different because I hadn't been riding for so long. And the reason why we did do it last year was because obviously Yamaha needed a rider, but I hadn't rode for so long that I needed to get back into some sort of riding before I went testing again, because we had a few tests cancelled last year. This year hasn't been the case. We've been riding, you know, a significant amount, not a lot, but a good amount. So yeah, when I spoke to Mario Merigali, you know, it was a good while ago now. I sort of understood the situation and said, you know, that I would do it, of course. You know, I didn't jump at it, that's sure. But because we have a lot of tests as well in this period. I had one in Aragon, which Mayo attended, and then I had one just after in Japan. I have another one in Japan. Next week I go to Japan, so and then I'll come to Aragon for the first of the six races.
I was going to say, how much are you looking forward to it, being back? And of course the first one's in Aragon, which is obviously in Europe, not too much traveling, but then you've got all the flyaways to deal with as well. So how much are you looking forward to getting back into the paddock and racing again for the final six races?
Well, you know, I always look forward to riding the motorcycle. Obviously, I retired 2 years ago now, but as we said, it was the perfect way for me to retire and take a test riding role that I could still ride around at a good pace, be able to try and help Yamaha, you know, with regards to comments, feedback, and my feeling on the M1 to be able to try and bring that bike forward as best as possible for their factory riders. So, but coming back and racing, it's not easy. There's nothing like racing. You can test all you want and you know, feel things and be within a good pace, a good sort of race pace, and test like that. But the way the guys are going this year, the field's so strong. But we have no expectations. I'll just do my job as best as possible, which is good for Yamaha still, because we can give information on the current bike, because obviously it'll be the bike of Andrea, and riding with the with you RNF racing team that I rode for a couple of races last year. I know the staff, I know the people there. I worked with Wilco Zeelandberg back in 2009 when I won my World Supersport Championship. So we've got a long history with a lot of the mechanics even there as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But six races, and I think it's six races in 8 weeks, and I have two tests also in those 8 weeks. So it's going to be a busy period. I went from being the least busy person to now being probably the most busy person. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back in, seeing a lot of friends and people in the paddock. But as I said, I've been actively riding a little bit of late, so I won't come into it as bad as last year. I remember last year when I did come in Austria, hadn't rode the bike for nearly just under 6 months. I rode at the first test in Qatar, and I didn't ride again until that Austria test. And I jumped on the bike, and I nearly stalled the bike for a start. I nearly hit the pit wall, and wobbled off down the pit lane. And I thought, I don't remember it being that difficult. And I came out of the pit lane actually, and accelerated, and had a massive head rush because of the G forces and the speeds. And I thought, I hope this goes away, you know. But within lap, I was okay. I wasn't really up to speed, but this year, hopefully, it'll be a little bit different, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. It sounds like the experience you get if, like, I tried to get on it. But you were never a rider, though, that trained on motorcycles, were you? In between, like, over winter, you're always, like, cycling, not motocrossing, trials, none of the risky stuff. But, like, does it make a really big difference then? And do you think it's going to be a different experience now coming back into it with having those more tests, a little bit less COVID drama as well? So I guess it's been a lot easier to sort of get that test project going again.
Yeah, it's still been a little bit difficult with regards to the COVID. We had a couple of the tests cancelled in this period, really, of the year. Actually, just after. So I was supposed to go to Japan, then we had a couple of tests cancelled after. But obviously, I'm going to the races anyway. But yeah, I feel it's a little bit easier as such, I suppose. I was always the guy that got off in Valencia and never rode until I got back on the bike in Malaysia. I always felt good doing that. But that's 2 months. You know, 6 months like I did last year is too long. I always felt that I needed to disconnect and feel fresh. And I always felt that I quite liked the shock of getting on in Malaysia and having to not learn again, but have the feeling that I was able to build up instead of having rode a motorcycle all the time. I did that nearly throughout my whole of my career. There's a few reasons why I don't really enjoy riding motorcycles outside of racing. That doesn't mean, you know, if I went out on the road and cruised around, I'd enjoy it. It's a motorcycle, but I didn't want to go to a track and ride a motorcycle in between, particularly. Just because I'm not very good at it, to be honest. So I'm quite good. I was quite good at racing, going fast and doing that part and being competitive, but just riding around, I didn't get the pleasure out of it, you know? So, and then with the motocross bike, I'm absolutely useless. So there's no point. I tried it 1 year. I tried to, you know, teach myself to ride a little bit better, understand, you know, for bike fitness, but I didn't really benefit from it. I think it was the year 2000 and might have been 16 or 17, but I crashed nearly at the first four races. And I said, right, it must be the motocross, so I'm never going to do it again. But yeah, I don't get me wrong. I do have a trials bike, so I enjoy to maybe go out with my friends on that, but I've been out probably twice this year, and Yamaha have given me a motocross bike, and I did ride it not so long back, just before one of the tests, and I was okay. But yeah, I always had that winter where I didn't really do anything, drove my bicycle, and I enjoyed that, and I felt that I knew where I was at physically with regards to my riding my bicycle. I can't run anymore because I've still got the 10 screws and 3 plates in my ankle, so I can hardly walk, let alone run. So I'm used to that sort of not riding for quite a period and being able to jump on and be okay. The difference is when you're going back into a race situation, these guys are, as we see from the lap times they're doing at the circuits this year, they're getting faster and faster. The young guys are more competitive, and MotoGP is more competitive than it's ever been, as in speed wise and lap time wise. So, I'll thoroughly look forward to getting back into a race weekend. I think that'll be a little bit of a shock, but good fun all the same.
You're obviously replacing Andrea Dovizioso. Cal, you were teammates at Ducati and Tech 3, one of your great rivals throughout the last sort of 10 years or so, and obviously a main man in the championship for a lot of those years as well. How do you see his retirement? Was it a surprise to you? I know it's been a very difficult year for Dovi on the Yamaha. So how do you see his retirement? Was it a bit of a shock, or were you sort of we well we knew he was retiring at the end of the season, but was it a shock to you that he decided to say goodbye to San Marino?
I always be careful with the word replacing somebody. You can't replace Andrea Dovizioso. He's been a great rider for so long. He's a good friend. We wouldn't speak actively on the phone every week, but whenever I see Dovi, he's been a great rider for so long, and this year hasn't panned out for him. But he's had many, many years that have. And when we were obviously at Tech 3 together, I knew the caliber of rider he was. We're completely different riders, as in our style on the bike, but we were always quite close and competitive. And obviously, then I joined him in Ducati for the year. And he stuck it out. He stayed, and I think they were his golden years of racing in MotoGP was those sort of 4 years in Ducati that he had, and he was battling at the front every week, with the Honda. When Mark was there, it was him and Mark, and obviously Mark won the championships, but Dovi took a couple down to the wire, as such. And he's a great rider. He's a great person and a great rider. I get why he wanted to stop. It's not easy in MotoGP at the moment. Maybe obviously when he came to Yamaha, maybe he felt that he would find something a little different. He'd been with Ducati for the years, but it's not easy taking the year off that he took off last year. Obviously, 3/4 of the year or whatever he took off. I don't think that's easy. And then to come back when the guys that he wanted to be competitive with are young, and we know the talent in MotoGP. They're all very, very talented. That's why you see it so close, lap times wise. But no matter what year Dovi had this year, if you're not enjoying it, then I see that sort of reason why he stopped. But him stopping in San Marino, was it a shock? No, because I think that's Dovi, his home Grand Prix with his friends there. It'll be special for him, and he deserves it. He deserves to be able to do that. And as I said, we've got on very, very well over the years, and it was a pleasure to be able to be his teammate, and pleasure to be able to race him for the 10 years I had in MotoGP. We were on track together.
You were, yeah. There's some great duels when you're at Tech 3, like you said, with completely different riding styles. And so often, I didn't realize at the time, but when you go back and watch a few races in a row, it's literally like always comes down to if you guys have both got it hooked up, it's just always last few laps, Cal and Dovi, your own private battle, and then decide it there. But yeah, it's been great to see. And obviously, you're both massive fans of press conferences, podcasts, media commitments. So we're looking forward to getting another really eager media face back in the paddock. But
Well,
no, yeah, that's
he
great
taught
to
me
hear
that.
because, of course,
Andrea taught
you've
me all
got
that. I have to blame somebody, so I'm going to blame him as he's the one stopping. He taught me all that, definitely. But no, we had some great battles, as you said, in Tech 3. It was great fun, and I never forget the last one when I was in Ducati when we were teammates. I was moving to Honda. He stayed there, and we finished. I think we finished fourth and fifth in Valencia at the last Grand Prix. I had two races where it, honestly, I wished the Aragon race in Tech 3, he took the podium and I finished fourth, and he beat me to the line by nothing. And I was devastated. Then that one when I was leaving Ducati was exactly the same in Valencia. But yeah, to have some great battles with him, it was always a pleasure. But yeah, he decided to stop. And the funny story is, I sent Simone Battistella, his manager, a message saying he owes me a holiday because I had to cancel my holiday. We had a holiday booked, so we moved it. So I've told him that he owes me a holiday.
And pay the fee for the changes. That sounds fair to me. Okay, so before we get on, we've got one question from the Twitch chat about what you think of Jack's move to KTM. Obviously, you and Jack are good friends. But first, you've said a couple of times, obviously, the championship is so competitive at the moment. Before you become one of them again, what do you make of it from the outside? Who's impressing you the most? Have you got any standout performers watching as sort of a fan and obviously test rider and a future rival this season?
Well, first of all, I've loved watching it on TV. I know, obviously, I don't watch every race, I don't watch every session, this, that, and the other. But when I do it, when I am able to watch it, or I do watch it, I enjoy to watch it. There's been some great performances over the year. The problem is to pick one, because I look at somebody like Darren Binder. I think Darren Binder's done fantastic this year. It's not easy what he's done, and I don't think people really realize he's in the fastest year of MotoGP, and what he's doing is very, very good. If you look at his lap times and stuff like that, 2 years ago they were the lap times that were winning the race, and that's the reality. Some circuits are going to be a lot more difficult, but obviously my big support is for the Yamaha guys. It's been tough for Andrea and Franco this year, but hopefully, Franco's turned the corner and able to start to come back now. Fabio's riding amazing with what he's got. We see the speed difference of the Yamaha compared to the other bikes, but he finds a way. He always finds a way, and he is able to take the best out of the bike. And he's a little bit of the Marc Marquez syndrome, Fabio, where everybody was really difficult to ride the Honda. They could do it now and again, myself included. I could get up there, I could win some races, be on the podium, but to do it week in, week out was very, very difficult. And you're seeing that from Fabio. So he's mentally so strong as well. So that always impresses me. The Aprilias, Alicia's rode brilliant all year. Obviously, I think they have a great package at the moment. Their bike and their rider and their team combination is all working for them very, very well. But I like to see Elise do well. He's a happy guy. He loves what he's doing, and for him to be up there is credit to him and to his team. But obviously, from Silverstone, we saw Maverick there, and it was great to see Maverick back at his best. Riding around Silverstone, we know he won some years ago, but he was really on a mission that weekend, and we've saw him building up. So you can never really pick out a standout performance, but there's many, and there's even the races always are not that close. There's not these 10 guys in a massive battle. But there's been some great performances. It's still great to watch on TV, and I enjoy watching it from the sidelines. And I was enjoying it watching it from the sidelines until I got the call.
We'll get to the chat then, Cal. Obviously, as Fran mentioned, you're good mates with Jack. Well, how do you evaluate Jack's move to KTM next season? Obviously, he's doing really well this year. He got on the podium again at Silverstone. For me personally, I think him and Brad Binder is one of the strongest lineups on the grid. Obviously, KCM just need to find that extra step like they did a couple of years ago. But it's a really exciting move for Jack and KTM as well.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I speak with Jack most weeks. And he's a great rider, a great talent, a great person. And he thoroughly deserves it. He deserves to be in a factory team again. Obviously, he's had many years at Ducati, obviously riding for the Pramac team and now riding for the factory team. And, you know, the thing is these young kids coming up, not kids, I don't want to talk about Jorge Martin, Bastianini, DJ Antonio's kids, you know, or Bezzecchi or whoever, but they're younger than him. And, you know, I think it was the perfect change for Jack. I think, you know, he's had some years in Ducati. He's done very, very well, as we saw even from Sunday. He will be in that time that he's not at his peak. He's just before his peak. So I think the move that he's making now to KTM is great for him, because I think that he will do some years there and be towards his peak. You know, I'm not saying at the end of his deal. He'll be great straight away. But it's whether they can make that bike a race winning bike every week. But you know, Jackie, he'll throw it all in, and that's what we all love about him. When you think that he's had a bad race the week before, you know, a couple of races this year, he was 15th, and that's the reality of MotoGP. But he went testing. He found his setting he likes, and he's back at the front again. So, of course, I'm pleased for him. I'm pleased that he's found a deal that he's happy with, and I think he'll do very, very well.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting lineup of Binder and Miller, isn't it? They're both so all in. Certainly if KTM can just take that step, it's looks like there could be some fireworks next year. But obviously as well, we need to ask you, you are the most recent MotoGP winner from the UK. Sadly, at the moment, we don't have representation on the grid for two more races. If you could have just done it a month earlier, that would have been helpful for Silverstone. But what are you making of Jake in Moto2? Obviously doing pretty well at the moment and seems to have ironed a lot out this year. And then Rory Skinner as well made that debut, which is extremely difficult to do, especially in Moto2. What do you make of that and the guys you see coming through as the elder statesman? I'm sorry, got to take the moniker now.
That's all right. That's okay. I'm happy with that. It's been a difficult period for Brits in Moto Grand Prix. It's as simple as that, and I felt a lot of pleasure to be able to win a Moto Grand Prix, being British, and you know, there was such a long gap before you know, from the last time that Paris-Chine did it. You know, I felt that at that time I was the one that, you know, I felt that I'd worked the hardest, that I'm not saying I deserved it, because you don't deserve anything, you have to work for it, and I felt that I worked for it. So to have those years,
you definitely deserved it though. I think that's okay to say.
yeah, but you know, I think we had some great races. To be honest, you know, if I look back, my wins that I had, I don't think were my best races, honestly speaking. I think there was other races that were more difficult, but we did very well. But you know, I wish that we could get some more riders in Moto Grand Prix. It's great to see the guys coming through. You know, that British Talent Cup, you know, those things are working, because we had Scott Ogden that I cheer on every weekend, every time that I watch the Moto3. If I can watch the Moto3, because you know, I dare not look at the screen half the time. I would hate to be in that race. That is sure. You know, I think me, Dovi, Valentino, maybe even Mark at some point. Mark's a little bit different because he likes the battle. We were the guys that liked it quite controlled and not an easy race, but sort of knew what was going to happen. And in that race, you have absolutely no idea what's going to go on. So it's great to see Scott doing well. And John was up there at the weekend, and you know that then hopefully will progress for them to be able to go to Moto2. As we talk about Moto2, obviously one of my best friends, like Jack, is Sam. So my support has always been for Sam in Moto2. He's had a
We
really
should,
really
yeah, I
rough
should
year.
say, obviously, Sam is such an experienced one in Moto2. That's why I didn't immediately put him in the question. Just because Jake's
No,
getting his first
you know.
mediums. Sam's always been a
Yeah.
challenger over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, and he's just had a difficult year, but you know, I speak to Sam on a daily basis, you know, about anything, normally about golf, to be honest. But I mean, you know, I think that Sam will be back at some point, and he'll be at the front, and that's another reason for, you know, everyone to be supporting the Brits in Moto2 as well. And obviously Sam had a year in Moto Grand Prix, when he was on the Aprilia, when it wasn't its best, and I think he would have done a lot better if it was at its best, if it was now, let's say. But my support's always for him. For Jake, you know, I think he's doing well. But it's that same old story. He's had some years in Moto2 now, so it's that time that he needs to be on the podium if he wants to further his career in Moto Grand Prix as such. But as we see, it's so difficult to get a Moto Grand Prix ride at the moment, and you need to be consistently week in, week out on the podium in Moto2, which I know is not easy at all, because we see the different guys at the front, and it's a competitive championship. And you know, I'm all for Brits going to Moto Grand Prix as and when they can. The thing is, in Moto Grand Prix though, you have to be the full package. You have to be a package of a good rider, a good package for the media as such, you know, and for your manufacturer that you're riding for. It's not an easy jump at all. So hopefully we can get some of these Brits to jump soon, because they've definitely got the talent to be able to do it.
Yep, I definitely have. Well, I think we've already stolen you for half an hour now. I think we can let you go. Is there anything else you would like to say in this rarest of live podcast streaming appearances? What are you most looking forward to, or what are you dreading about coming back? Any final thoughts before we see you in Aragon?
Fran, didn't you mention that we were the ones that don't like to do the interviews and podcasts? So I don't really have that much else to say.
The
I'm only
absolute
joking.
minimum.
No, you know, as I said, I'm now a fan of MotoGP, as well as being a retired rider and going to be a current rider again soon. So, you know, as always, it's a pleasure to be able to watch and also learn. You know, you're still, even at my age, you know, you learn all the time from watching the guys on the TV. Also, when I go testing, I learn stuff from Fabio's data that makes me a better rider as well. So you know, I'm not competing anymore as such, but you're always striving to be able to give the best information that I can give to Yamaha in a test riding role. So I'm looking forward to coming back and doing the six races. It was a little unexpected, but it is what it is. And you know, once you commit and get your head into it, then that's the, you know, that's the way it is. So I look forward to coming to those Grand Prix, giving my all for the team and giving my all for Yamaha. Where that will be, I have absolutely no idea. I have no expectations, and we'll just you know, use this as a good period of time that we can evaluate some things, because obviously I'm riding the bike that Andrea is riding now. But yeah, we're fully focused on we have been and are going to be fully focused on the 23 bike, and make that better for our Yamaha riders. And things are going good at the moment, so that's positive for next year.
Well, perfect sign off then. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed
No
the
problem at all.
cycling. Hope you'll enjoy the last couple of weeks of freedom before you're back in the paddock.
Yeah,
And yeah,
exactly.
just great to talk to you, and we're really excited to see you back at Aragon. So thanks very much. And yeah, that's all from us, I think.
Cheers,
thanks
Cal,
so much.
I appreciate it.
No worries. Cheers.
Right, well, I hope everyone enjoyed that with Cal. Always a pleasure. Not too many sarcastic British traps there for us either today. Always nice. It's a little harder to be on your toes when you're on a stream and
he's
video
definitely
call,
saving them for the 6 weeks he's in the paddock, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it'd be I imagine he'll be invited to the Aragon pre-race press conference, so it'll
for
be
sure.
straight back in at the deep end of the horror. But no, we absolutely love it. It's always been a running meme, like with Dovi also hates that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be mixed feelings in San Marino because they'll get a lot of love, but it'll also have a lot of those commitments. So yeah, but well, Elliot, now it's just us. Let's talk about Silverstone a little bit more, shall we?
Might as well, eh?
Pretty good race, not so bad to come back with such a bang from the summer break. Wasn't quite a last lap overtake, was it? In the end, it went down to the penultimate lap was Maverick's attack, but. Well, where do you want to start? Should we start with that? I mean, Pecco now 1-2 on the bounce, really impressive. There's not that much more to say there, but Maverick, as Cal touched on, really is back with a bang, isn't he?
He is. I think us two and our colleague Jack Gorst are sort of little Maverick fanboys, aren't we? We'd love to see, first of all, Maverick being happy because we know how good he is when he's
happy. A happy Maverick
and
is a fast Maverick. Yeah,
exactly. And when he was in the press conference saying he was like laughing in his helmet when he was battling with Jack Miller, I think they're quite close mates, aren't they? They shared motorhomes in Moto3 way back. And it's just good to see him, yeah, smiling and enjoying life, because obviously a year ago it was quite the opposite. So yeah, I was in the office, you were trackside, but when he overtook Pecco, I will have to admit I did sort of get out of my seat and like, go on Maverick sort of thing. Not to be biased or anything towards any of the riders, but yeah, I can't say on behalf of everyone, of course, but I do like to see Maverick do well. But yeah,
Pecco
unexpectedly
was supreme,
fast, wasn't he?
He was, and he said that himself as well. He said it's the first weekend, didn't he, where everything's not gone that great, and he expected to go and kind of take a top five home on race day, but in the end actually managed to pull that win out the bag. So yeah, that's a bit of a warning shot, I think, considering now that he is the top Ducati in the standings and third overall in the standings, that gap's come down massively over the last couple of races. So yeah, I mean, you always knew that if Pecco looked supreme Pecco style on Friday, you had serious Jaws music on Sunday. But now if he can go from sort of, you know, not really challenging for pole, not really being the guy to beat in any of the sessions, and then on Sunday, bam, goes out and wins. A little bit of a warning shot for the rest. But yeah, Maverick, super impressive. Jack Miller, super impressive as well, back on the podium. And yeah, with some wisdom as ever. Then I actually said to you we should cut this bit because it wasn't as impressive as earlier races, but you know where I'm going now, don't you?
Andrea
Bastianini,
yeah.
Great charge. It was a real Ducati lockout near the top, except for Maverick, wasn't it, in the end? He really charged forward, and then it was him and then Martin, wasn't it? What do we make of that? Because that's that duel for the Ducati seat as well.
It's a really interesting sort of battle, isn't it? Because I don't think anyone's none the wiser as to who's going to get that seat. My mind changes every week before sort of, well, the first 5-6 races when Anea won 3 of them, it's sort of like, yeah, Anea's definitely going to get the factory ride. Then it's sort of, I swayed to Martin when Martin started to come back to form and Anea dropped a little bit. But Anea producing that ride without one of his front winglets and obviously overtaking Martin on the last lap into Brooklands. Yeah, it's very, very interesting battle, and hopefully soon we're going to know who is Pecco's teammate in 2023. But I honestly haven't got a clue. My mind changes every single day at the minute as to whether it's going to be Bastianini or Jorge Martin, but a great ride from Bastianini.
I love the way you say that. Like, you literally wake up in the morning and you're
I
like,
do.
oh, is it gonna be who's it gonna be? But no, it is, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people, me included, certainly expected us to have an answer maybe by this point.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a little bit different as they're both Ducati. It's just the seats. It's more the musical chairs within the manufacturer that'll be affected. So it's not sort of the mad dash compared to some of the other seats that we've seen go. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I certainly thought we'd have an answer by now. And I think, I don't know, from everything that you can see and hear from the bosses at Ducati, it seemed like they had a very fixed plan. And then on Sunday in Qatar, Enea Bastianini blew everyone out the water, and
Correct.
maybe made it a little bit more complicated. So yeah, it's interesting, certainly. Another thing that'd be interesting will be to see the Tech 3 lineup, which Pit Biro has confirmed we'll be getting at Austria. So I don't
Is that
know. There's a
both or
lot of
one? I thought he
very.
only said one rider, but maybe it's both.
How was it? I thought it was a one seat will be confirmed. Okay, I
I
thought it
think
was
it's one
both.
anyway. It could be
I
both. I
think
mean, it
I
makes
know
sense
which one it
to be both, but
is.
if it's the one that we think, and obviously everyone probably listening and watching this probably knows as well, then that wouldn't be such a surprise. I think the second seat's up for the debate still, but we probably do know who's going to get that. But it obviously makes sense for them to do it in Austria. And just harping back to Ducati for a sec, there's no rush for them, is there? They've got
Yeah, they've both
obviously
got
Gresini signed up.
futures there.
Zarco, I don't think it's official, but Zarco will be staying. And then it's just, yeah, the other two seats, obviously, with Jack going to KTM. So, yeah, there's no rush for Ducati. I think everyone's just sort of eager to find out where everyone's going.
Yeah, I am certainly. I used to get super excited about like silly season stuff as a fan. And then over the last sort of 10 years, I've just become more like, can you just tell me when it's done,
Yeah.
please? Because it gets like a bit of an emotional roller coaster. But yeah, I'm still a little bit like that with F1, because I remember the shock and the pain of the McLaren Mercedes Lewis Hamilton switch back in the day. But yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting as we get more of the jigsaw pieces. I think one of the most interesting ones so far as well has been that Alex Marquez switched to Ducati. There's a few little things to look out for, sort of beyond those real massive headline grabbers that have been under discussion almost since the start of the year. But yeah, we should then go on to the biggest talking points. The riders in 8th and 9th, both
Yeah.
via different sets of drama to those finishing positions. I think if you told Aleix Espargaró when he was lying on the floor after that huge high side that he was going to lose 1 point to Fabio on race day, he probably would have, I don't know, I can't think of anything that's both clean and a little bit crazy off the top of my head. He would have been quite surprised. So yeah, what do we make of that? Obviously heroic effort from Aleix, but crazy weekend for those two top in the title fight.
Dramatic, wasn't it? I mean, that FP4 crash was pretty horrendous to watch, wasn't it? When he was, it's always scary to see a rider high side and then sort of not get straight back up, because normally if a rider's okay, they'll just get back up and walk off. But especially when it's a title contender and Fabio's closest challenger, you think, oh, with Fabio obviously looking really strong and Aleix getting stretchered away, thankfully he was relatively okay. You do start to worry. But the surprising thing for me was Aleix didn't really have any complaints about pain or anything in the race. He said he was a little bit sore, which is obviously understandable. But he said he had
Such
no
an
rear grip.
understatement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little bit sore.
he had no rear grip on the right-hand side, I think he said. And he was actually disappointed to, he's obviously disappointed to finish ninth. He expected more. And I think without the crash, he probably would have run, given Maverick also had the pace to win, and Aleix just had a little bit more on Maverick during free practice. But to only lose 1 point to Fabio is a bit of a win for Aleix, given what happened in Silverstone. And obviously, we've got a weekend off now for him to recover. And I'm sure in Austria, he's not going to be fully fit, of course, but for him to not feel any pain a day after riding. After the crash, hopefully in Austria, he's going to be relatively okay. So, yeah, good for
Yeah.
the championship, good for Aleix, but obviously not good for Fabio finishing eighth.
Yeah, it wasn't, and it was a bit of a surprise as well because he emerged from his long lap ahead of Maverick, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah.
So obviously he did lose out from it a little bit, but by no means, you know, seven positions. So I'm sure there's plenty to dissect from that, especially at a track where he was expected to be sort of I guess what we were all expecting in some ways was a Portimão kind of performance, where it's just one of those tracks where him in the groove, it's like just, you know, enjoy the track day. Really impressive stuff. So yeah, it's an interesting kind of break in the momentum a little bit as well. Now we've got Pecco with two wins in a row. Next up is Austria because of the way the calendar's now switched around. Obviously, Ducati Turf, traditionally Yamaha's most difficult track. We're meant to be heading in there almost on the back of at least a Quartararo podium, but actually, it's all very interesting, isn't it? What do we think we're going to see in the next couple of races after that?
I think that's one of the main reasons why Fabio in his Sunday debriefs was really worried about Pecco, because see, Pecco's taken what, like 42 points out of his lead in the last two races, I think it is. Only 49 points between them now. It was 91 before Assen, and we looked at Assen and Silverstone and thought that's Fabio Quartararo territory. Obviously, he won both of those races last year, but he's taken a P9, sorry, a P8 from both of them. Obviously, had the DNF and subsequent long lap penalty, which ultimately cost him a chance of victory. Because he said in the group when he came, obviously out of the long lap, he just didn't have any rear grip at all. And he also said he's quite worried about Austria because obviously we've got the new chicane, which everyone's sort of intrigued to know how that will be. But Fabio's losing a big strength of Austria, whereas obviously going straight down and into turn three, one of the hardest braking zones probably on the calendar. He said that was a real strong point. And we saw last year, didn't we, his double overtake on a pair of Ducatis. I think it was Jorge Martin was definitely one of them, might have been Pecco as well, into turn three. So obviously with the chicane, it loses a lot of its speed and the braking zone is obviously not as long and hard. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Austria, he's worried. You can tell he's worried, which is understandable, but just because they're Ducati tracks and Pecco goes well at them doesn't mean he's going to go well at them, because obviously we thought that about Fabio and Silverstone and Assen. It's going to be interesting, like you say. It's going to be very interesting over the next few weeks. And then the flyaways, I think, just a bit of a lottery, because we obviously didn't go to Japan, Thailand,
It's going to be
Australia,
so
Malaysia.
interesting because we've not seen like Pecco at full power take on these places on that bike either, which should be super interesting. Then it's also a bit of a kicker that Misano, which in my head from when I started really getting into the sport is like Rossi Lorenzo territory, always Yamaha. And then now obviously Pecco is a real king around that track on that Ducati. So yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting. But have we got anything else that we should have touched on after Silverstone? I think just another great race, and how great is it to be back, really?
Pretty much, yeah. I just want to mention, obviously, this week we've got an in-depth interview with Marc Marquez coming out. I was lucky enough to go
Of course,
to
yes. You went to
Madrid
Madrid, did you not?
yesterday. Well, went on, what day is it? Wednesday. I went on Monday evening, did the interview yesterday morning down in Madrid at his local gym, and then obviously came back yesterday. But it's a really, really cool interview. He was in good spirits, spoke really well about a number of topics, sounding really positive about his recovery, which is obviously the main thing. My main takeaway from it was they're just taking their time, just no rushing into anything. They've got that checkup at the end of the month, which is really important. And if he gets the all clear from that, then I think it's going to start ramping up pretty quick. But he was pretty adamant that they're taking their time. Obviously, there's been loads of rumours about his return, maybe at the Misano test and stuff. I don't think that's going to be the case. But yeah, watch out for that on MotoGP.com, because it's a really nice interview, and yeah, it was a privilege to go talk to Mark, and good to see him in good spirits. Obviously, it's been a really tough couple of years for him. Yeah, hopefully we're going to see him before the end of the season, which is good news.
Yeah, I think it's very telling that everything is still obviously guarded and sensibly so given the situation, but there's a lot of positivity now coming out of that camp, isn't there? So it's very exciting. I don't know how people stay so mentally calm through these things, because even just me, I'm like, oh, it's so exciting. Like, come on, tell us more, come on. But yeah, it's great to see, hopefully, that everything's going so well. and that we should hopefully have our 8-time world champion back with us soon enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's all from us, isn't it? Thank you everyone joining us. Definitely check out that Mark interview on MotoGP.com, like Elliot says. And yeah, where are we going next? It's Austria. When is it? Week and a half.
Austria.
Yeah. I'm all awash in the season now. We've had Silverstone at the start of August. So yeah, Austria, join us for the Red Bull Ring. It will definitely be another stunning weekend. And like Elliot says, that new chicane, adding a little bit of extra spice too. So thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon enough.
Cheers, guys.